I'm grateful for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Tradecraft and fair trade generally has been my passion since I became involved when I was living on Tyneside in the early 1980s. And there may be a few people here who will remember that when my family and I worshipped here from 1986 to 1991, I set up the Tradecraft stall then. You know, for me, fair trade is just an obvious and, I believe, Christ-like way of responding to poverty. Now, these that you can see up there are just some of the many facts that I could have pulled out to illustrate poverty in our world. Just looking at the bottom one, if you just look at yourself and the person to one side of you and the person to the other side of you and just think, actually, if you take it across the world, only one of us would have access to a toilet. That's quite shocking, isn't it? The photos that you can see there were taken in a slum area in Kisumu, which is in the west of Kenya, somewhere I visited quite a lot because when I was teaching at Newark Community School, through the British Council, I set up a link with a poor rural school just outside Kisumu. These photos were taken on one of my trips, and for me, they gave me a shocking and personal insight into poverty. The lady you can see outside the house, which was part of the slum area that we visited, she's a grandmother. All six of her sons and daughters-in-law have died of AIDS, and she's left bringing up 27 grandchildren in that house. There is nothing inside it worth talking of. The lady in the red T-shirt next to her is a lady called Caroline, who runs a daycare centre and supports women like this grandmother. And any profit that I make on the stall goes out to support this daycare centre. Recently we've set up what they call square metre gardening to help the children learn how to grow their own vegetables. The picture next to it, one of the local clergymen took me to see. And these people that you can just about see on the picture, they're called sand diggers. And they work all day taking sand out of the river, up the riverbank, and into a truck at the top. For that, they're paid 100 Kenyan shillings a day. Now, the exchange rates vary, but that's about a pound. And when I was there, it was 40 degrees. And, you know, it seems to me no one should have to live in such shocking poverty as the pictures that we see there. Well, there are three possible responses to that. We can ignore it. We can give to charities that run development projects, and I think that's very important. But we can also help people to help themselves. And that's why I'm so passionate about Tradecraft, because I believe it's giving people a hand up rather than a hand out. And I know if I was in that position, I'd so much prefer to be given the help to help myself. So, as you can see, Tradecraft, the whole idea of it is that it brings aid, but it brings it through trade. And it is all about a fair price, yes, but it's also about all the other criteria that you can see in the bullet points below. And I'm not going to read them all out, but just identify one in particular, which is that when you buy fair trade, there's a social premium that's put into the price. And it's for projects in health, education, welfare. And the producers in the producer groups, they get to choose what project they want to support. So it might be they feel that they need a new water source, like a well, or it might be that they feel they need education for the children. So it's very much about empowering the communities, as well as all the other things that go with fair trade, good working conditions, good price, and those kinds of things. Now, one of the producer groups we work with is called Get Paper Industries, and it's based in Nepal. And in April 2015, sadly, Nepal really hit the headlines, didn't it? There was a massive, massive earthquake. And obviously, it affected people who worked for Get Paper Industries as well as people just generally in the area. Now, one shocking fact that I found was that 5,000 to 10,000 women and girls are trafficked out of Nepal to India each year. largely to the sex industry. And companies like Get Paper Industry, they provide an alternative. And they also run an education project out of the profits of the company to educate women and girls about the dangers of trafficking. And I think if everything works correctly, you're now going to see a little bit of a DVD clip about this particular project in Nepal. And it focuses on a group of people that Gate Paper Industries work with called the Stonebreakers. And, on the stall, you'll see that I have some of the paper that's produced, and it's absolutely beautiful handcrafted paper that's produced at Get Paper Industry. And then from that project, they've been able to set up the school, which hopefully will change the future for children like Sudeep. So over the 30 years plus that I've been doing tradecraft, I found that a lot of people, and particularly in churches, tell me that they think it is a really good idea. They support it. It's a great idea. And they like having tradecraft available. What I don't always find is that that's translated into action and people actually committing to buying the tradecraft. And I think these verses from James really challenge us. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And that seems to me to be saying to us that we have to take our faith and translate it into action. And sometimes that might take effort on our part. However, I fully appreciate and understand that there are often reasons why people don't buy fair trade. I think that sometimes it's availability and sometimes it's cost. And I'll come back to both of those things later. And I guess supermarkets have encouraged us to just go, get all our shopping, throw it in one basket. And of course, the buying power of supermarkets means that it is cheaper. And I think though sometimes we need to ask ourselves the question, if I can go into a supermarket and buy a kilo of rice that's come from a fairly distant country for a pound, somebody somewhere in that chain has got to be paying the cost of that if I'm not paying it at the till. And I think it's good now that there is fair trade in supermarkets, and tradecraft was quite instrumental in trying to make sure that that happened. One of the issues is that tradecraft has almost sport its own situation by doing that, and we're being encouraged as reps now to really encourage people to buy from tradecraft. There are reasons for that. There's a wider range of fair trade available from tradecraft than in the supermarket. We trade with much smaller groups than supermarket fair trade. And we also go what we call the extra mile, which I'll talk about in a moment. There is another reason, and that is that if we don't buy from tradecraft, we might lose it. And I had a letter yesterday from the chief executive of tradecraft, which says this: we have improved many things, and we have made some important investments that were long overdue. We also have some wonderful products, and we've been winning new wholesale customers, proving that fair trade can be outstanding in both its ethics and its quality. Sadly, however, we live by the sales we make, and these have been falling. When you read this, we will be in the middle of a consultation process at Tradecraft PLC that proposes reducing the number of staff. As you can imagine, this is a difficult time for staff who are disappointed, frustrated, and angry. We are making every effort to minimise the losses, listening to each other and finding ways to be more efficient and more focused. So that's the staff in Gateshead, but of course imagine that that will have an impact also on the producers that we buy from in countries around the world. Oh, you've come up, thank you. So I said that tradecraft was a bit more than just fair trade, a bit more than the supermarket, and it is all to do with the relationships that we have. We build relationships with these small producer groups. Tradecraft is a Christian-based company, and it's about seeing those producers, as James said, as our brothers and sisters, and about seeing what we can do to help them. We lend money in advance to get groups going. We give them training and development opportunities. We give them market advice, quality control advice. So although there is fair trade in the supermarket, they're not doing that input, and it would be so sad if Tradecraft went under and was not available to do that anymore. Okay, it's now lost the... never mind. There should be the one that came up before about Tradecraft Exchange. Anyway, attached to Tradecraft, the company is Tradecraft Exchange, which is the only international development charity in the UK to focus on trade. And we deliver projects across the developing world, helping people to build their skills, their knowledge and their confidence. And one example would be SKVIS, which is based in West Bengal in India. It works with women's groups, rural groups, so that women can do the work in their own homes. And we gave them a start-up loan, and then since then we've given them the advice and the training and the support they need so that now they're able to regularly sell to other companies, other fair trade companies as well. The other thing that Tradecraft Exchange does is to challenge unfair trade rules and to raise awareness of injustice. And we've been working really hard recently to make sure that in the fallout from Brexit, some of the countries around the world, the poorer countries around the world, don't become victims of that. Our newest campaign, and next time I'm here I'll be bringing cards along to do with this, is about the tea companies and asking people to write to the big tea companies and asking them, where in Assam does your tea come from? And let me just read you something that was in a recent booklet that came through from Tradecraft. We asked an independent journalist and their team to visit Assam and talk to some of the workers on estates that we believe supply the UK. These women told us about how they struggle to make ends meet on their daily wage. Their houses are in a state of disrepair, and health clinics often have no staff and few medicines. So again, we need to think when we're buying our tea, where are we buying it from, and are the women who are picking the tea suffering in that way? Right. So I mentioned earlier two possible problems why people don't buy fair trade. I think one thing is that people don't always realise just how much fair trade is available. You know, it's not just coffee, tea and sugar. And I wonder where else you can buy greeting cards for a pound. Well, you can on my stall. I don't think other things are unreasonably priced. You know, the tea, box of leaf tea at £1.80, a good quality roast coffee at £3.95. And high-quality ginger stem biscuits, which I know some people like, at £1.90. They're not incomparable with prices that you would find in the supermarket. And the new catalogue has just come out, and I've only got one copy because I'll need to send off for more, but, you know, this is the amount of products that there are available from fair trade. So whether it's buying a birthday present, Christmas decorations, chocolate, whatever it is, you'll probably find it is in there. The other problem we mentioned was availability. And it isn't as easy as going into the supermarket. I completely appreciate that. It's easy for me. I've got the boxes sitting at home and I can just dive in when I need a box of sugar or whatever. But I think if we're going to show the commitment that James asks for to the poor, then maybe we need to think more about our shopping and plan it ahead. And you can order from me and you'll be given a flyer on the way out with all my contact details. And then I will bring things the following month. The store will be here every third Sunday in the month. And also, if you prefer to do your own shopping, Tradecraft Shop has an online shop and you can order from there. The only downside of that is that you have to order in bulk if you're not going to pay postage. And that's the benefit of buying or ordering through me, that you won't have to pay postage. And obviously, I'm not saying don't buy fair trade in the supermarket. I don't stock wine. I don't stock bananas, all of which are fair trade items that you can get in the supermarket. But an appeal, really, is that we buy from Tradecraft, because if we don't, we may lose the company. I think it's as serious as that. So I'm just going to finish with a little clip. Noah's Ark in India is one of our longest producer groups that we've had a relationship with. And I think when you watch it, it just sums up just what fair trade can do for people in difficult situations. I guess at the end of it, we're left with one real question. You know, do we put people before profit, or do we put profit before people? And we've all got to answer that question in our own way, in the best way that we can. But I think the thing we need to take away is that we do have a choice, but our choice will affect their choice. And for so many people in the world that we've seen through the course of this presentation, they don't have many choices. And perhaps if we make the right choices, we can actually open up the choices that are available to them in their lives and make a real difference. So I'll be outside at the stall, so if anybody's got any questions afterwards they'd like to ask me, do feel free to come and to browse the products out there as well. And let's just finish with a time of prayer.